Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike, and thank you, Noemia, for that good song this morning. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we'll begin reading there in verse 36 in just a moment. During the revival meeting that we had just a week or so ago with the Brother Bob Hooker and Joe Beth, someone found some money in the parking lot one night of the revival meeting. So if you are missing some money, if you can tell me the serial number on it, I'll let you have it. Seriously, if you're missing some, if you'll let me know, we'll get that to you. It's not a large sum of money. It's more than a dollar. And it's under 100, so. All right, Matthew chapter 26. Verse 36, if you'll begin reading with me there. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, young people, listen. Listen. Verse 42, he went away the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus, and took him. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture that we have read together this morning. Thank you for the truths that are found in it. Would you help us today to be able to understand them, to grasp them, and to build them into our lives? May we learn from the examples that are given to us here. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts in these few moments we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many things that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. One of the things we can learn is how to deal with our enemies. That's not the subject of our message today, but the Lord said in verse 48, Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he that is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. I heard a message years ago on the man that kissed the door of heaven and died and went to hell. Because Jesus is the door, right? John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the door. Judas kissed the door to heaven and died and went to hell. Verse 50 says, And Jesus said unto him, look how Jesus responded. Jesus knows Judas is betraying him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. What an example of how to deal with our enemies. The subject of my message this morning is watch and pray. As we continue our study of the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, the Lord gives to us this command here in verse number 41. And He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Greek word that Jesus used in this command to watch is gregorio, and it means to keep awake or to watch. It can be used in a physical sense, a moral sense, or even a spiritual sense. It has the idea of giving attention and mindfulness in the face of danger. Keeping from drowsiness. Some of us need a little bit of that this morning, don't we? With conscious earnestness and alertness. Denouncing all slackening in the energy of faith and conduct. The Hebrew word that is used for the same word, watch, is the word shamar. And it means to hedge about as with thorns, to protect or to attend to. So when the Lord said watch and pray, He's not just talking about a bedtime prayer, is He? He's talking about watching in the sense of protecting, hedging about with thorns, being careful about something that we're praying about and watching. There's several things that I want you to notice this morning about this command, watch and pray. First of all, there's some biblical examples that I'd like us to look at in this matter of watching and praying. Hold your finger there in Matthew and go back with me to the book of Job. Back in the Old Testament, if you open your Bible right in the middle, you should be in Psalms, and right before that is the book of Job. In Job chapter 1, I want to look at a verse there, and then, look at verse 2 and then verses 4 and 5. The primary responsibility of a shepherd is to watch and care for all the sheep that are under his care. And in doing that, the shepherds in the Old Testament time, oftentimes they were nomadic people. They traveled around looking for suitable pasture land for their sheep to graze. And as they were traveling, sometimes they were gone away from home for weeks, maybe even a month or so at a time. And so each night, as nightfall would come, they would build a hedge of stones or thorn bushes around, kind of like a fence or a wall around the sheep. And then during the night, the shepherd would actually lay in the opening, in the doorway, in the gap, and the shepherd would literally become the door of the sheepfold. That's what Jesus was referring to in John 10:10 when Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, back in the book of Job, Job was one of the most righteous men in his day. He kept the same type of a watch as the shepherd would watch over his sheep. Job kept that type of a watch over his children. Whenever they had a celebration in one of their houses, Job would go before the Lord on behalf of his children and pray for them. If you're back at Job chapter 1, look with me at verse number 2. It says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, I often thought, why did he have 7 sons and only three daughters? And of course, the answer to that is it's more than twice as hard to raise a girl than it is to raise a boy, right? Just kidding. Don't throw any songbooks at me. But he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now look at verse number 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. What was Job doing? Job was faithfully watching out for his children, for his 7 sons and his 3 daughters. He was, in a sense, building a hedge of prayer around his family and around his possessions. Satan even complained about that. In fact, if you're still there, Job, look at verse number 9. It says in verse 8, it says, "The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or hateth evil?" Now look at verse 9. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught?" In other words, Satan was complaining to God about this hedge of protection that was around Job, his children, his possessions. And it was there, one of the reasons was because Job was faithful to pray for his family. What was he doing? He was watching and praying, wasn't he? Watching over his family. D.L. Moody said this, he said, "Fervency in prayer by the power of the Holy Spirit is a good preservative against thoughts rushing in." And then he made this comment, I like this, he said, "Flies never settle on a boiling pot." Flies never settle on a boiling pot. Our prayers, when we pray, when we are fervent, it was Peter, I think, that said, or James said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The fervency in our prayer. Watching. Over in the book of Hosea, there's another example of watching. And God records there, the Bible records how God watched over His people Israel. And God put a hedge of thorns around them, or a wall around them. In fact, God described the results of that in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 7. He said, "She shall follow after her lovers," talking about Hosea's wife who had gone astray. And it was a picture of Israel and their going away from the Lord. "She shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now." God wanted Israel to understand that it was better for them when they were following God, the true and the living God. In the days of Ezekiel, God was looking for a man, the Bible says. He sought out a man. He was looking for a man who would watch and pray for the people of Israel. Look, if you will, with me at Ezekiel chapter 22 and begin in verse 29. Ezekiel chapter 22. I want you to notice what it says, what God's Word says there. Ezekiel 22 and verse 29. I'll give you a minute to find your place there. It's a little harder book to find than some of the others. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 29. It says, "The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully." There was all kinds of things going on in the nation of Israel. Now look at verse 30. It says, "And I sought for a man among them that should," notice this, "make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." God said, "I'm looking for a man who will be like Job, who will watch and pray for his family. I'm looking for a man who will pray for the nation of Israel." Remember Abraham, when God said He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. What did Abraham do? He watched and prayed, didn't he? And he asked God, he said, "Lord, if there are 50 righteous people, would You spare Sodom?" And God said He would spare it for 50. And then he asked for 40 and 30 and 20 and all the way down to 10 righteous people. And God said if there were 10 righteous, He would spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what? If you count up Lot and his wife and his sons and their wives, I think you come up with 10 people. And what God was saying was, "Lot, if you just spare your family, if you watch and pray for your family, I'll spare Sodom." Could I say to you, our families are worth fighting for? There are at least three things we ought to fight for. We ought to fight for the faith. We ought to fight for our families. And we ought to fight for our future so that we finish well. Don't let the devil have your family. Watch and pray for them. God gave to Adam the responsibility to keep the Garden of Eden. He used the Hebrew word that is the same word translated keep watch, that is translated watch in Matthew 26. keep the garden. He was to be aware of danger. He was to guard that garden that God had entrusted him with. Because Adam failed to keep the garden, God had to put Adam and Eve out of the garden, and then God sent His angels to keep the garden, to guard the tree of life, so that Adam and Eve could not eat of the tree of life. They had taken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they had fallen and failed, and God did not want them to live in that condition forever, so He protected them from eating of the tree of life, so that they would not live in that sinful condition forever. So God tells us that we are to watch and pray. And we have some examples that are given to us. Secondly, I want you to notice with me the way to watch and pray. The way to watch and pray. As the parents slept one night, they had no idea that something tragic was about to happen to their family. In the middle of the night, their two teenage sons got out of bed, quietly dressed, and snuck out of the house. Friends picked them up and they began a night of drinking and driving. Several hours later, the driver of the car lost control. He was traveling at a speed of over 100 miles an hour and crashed the car. Three of the occupants in that car that night were critically injured, and the other two were killed, the sons of the sleeping parents. Now, the parents couldn't be expected to watch their sons all the time. But they had failed to recognize and see many of the warning signs that led up to that fateful night when their two sons would die in that accident. And the tragedy of that night illustrates to us the importance of this command that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. He says to us, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." On the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed and arrested there, He went to the Mount of Olives with the disciples. And that situation of the Lord that night provides for us one of the clearest examples of watching and praying that are given to us in the Bible. If you look back there at chapter 26, look at verse 36 in Matthew chapter 26. And it says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray." Or while I go and pray yonder. And then He took Peter and John and James with Him. And He went a little bit farther. And in verse 38, then said He unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Now, why do you suppose the Lord told the disciples to watch? And it's interesting that originally He didn't tell them to pray. He told them to watch. And then He went farther and He fell on His face and He prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." Jesus must have been gone for about an hour. And He came back, because when He came back and found the disciples asleep, remember what He said to Peter in verse 40 and 41? He said, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Then Jesus returned to His place of prayer. When He came back again, He found the disciples again. They were sleeping. He returned the third time and He prayed the same words. Now, we're not told everything that He said. I'm sure if He was gone for an hour, there was more than just that one little phrase that He prayed. But I'm also sure that much of that time was spent in watching as well as in praying. He said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." Now, He probably said more than that. We're not told what else He said. But there's a large portion of time in that hour that our Lord must have spent in anguish and in silence before His Heavenly Father. And during that time, the Bible tells us that the Heavenly Father sent an angel to strengthen Him. If you'll look over just a few pages, look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 43. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke chapter 22 and verses 43 and 44. Luke 22, verse 43 says, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. He said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." The Bible tells us that during these times of agonizing watching, when we're there in prayer and we're agonizing and watching and allowing God to speak to us, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God Himself, makes intercession for us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, He said, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." What an amazing thing that when we come to God in these times of fervency, in anguish, in watching, whether it's for our family or for our church or for our country, as we're praying, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God helps us. Jesus was there in the garden and an angel came to strengthen Him. I believe God's Holy Spirit comes to strengthen us and to help us as we pray. Watching and praying then is an interaction with the Holy Spirit. He knows the mind of God and He can reveal the dangers that we or those that we care for will face. And as we are watching for our family, God has a way of helping us to know, to remind us, to prompt us, to let us know of the dangers. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. He can reveal to us those dangers. If Peter had watched and prayed, do you think maybe he would have been better prepared for the temptation that he was about to face in denying the Lord three times? But instead of watching and praying, what was Peter doing? He was sleeping, wasn't he? How many of you have ever been asleep when you should have been praying? Don't raise your hand. When you should have been praying. How many of you have fell asleep while you were praying? Sometimes, and by the way, that's why the Bible says the spirit is weak, or the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak, isn't it? Sometimes this old flesh is weak. In Romans 8, 27, God said, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Watching is an active appraisal of what is happening around us, both in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm. You see, Satan wants to come. John chapter 10 tells us he wants to steal and to kill and to destroy that which we fail to watch over. And when we're not watching over our family, when we're not watching over our church, when we're not watching over our nation, the devil's going to come along and he's going to attempt to steal and to kill and to destroy. The closer you and I get to God in prayer, the less harmful the effects of the darts that Satan hurls at us will have on us. Therefore, the Lord commands us, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Thirdly, I want you to notice our involvement in watching. What is our involvement? To watch is to be silent before the Lord. When He brings matters to our mind, then we are to earnestly pray about them. During our time of watching, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesian believers in Ephesians 6:10, he said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Be strong in the Lord. You see, Satan is far more powerful than we are. Amen? But there's somebody inside of us that is far more powerful than Satan is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when Paul told the Ephesian believers how to prepare for effective watching and praying, he said, "Put on the whole armor of God,
that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
When I have my prayer time in the morning, I go through the armor of God and I ask God to help me. I ask Him to help me as I put on the different pieces of the armor. And I say, Lord, help me as I take the shield of faith that I can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Help me as I have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that I can be a peacemaker and that I can have divine appointments to share the gospel and tell people about Jesus Christ. Help me as I put on the belt of truth, that I would speak only the truth today and that I would recognize any deception or error that the enemy or any of his cohorts would bring into my life. Lord, help me as I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Thank you for taking my sin and placing it on Jesus at the cross and giving me the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to live right and do right and be right. God, help me as I put on the helmet of salvation. Would you protect my mind and protect my brain and protect my thoughts? And as we put on that helmet and as we put on that armor, we are preparing for spiritual warfare. We're saying to God, God, there's an enemy out there that I'm going to have to face today, and I need your protection and your help so that I can have victory in my life. Watching oftentimes involves confrontation with principalities, the evil authorities that have been given power over certain geographical jurisdictions. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, after the Lord said, put on the whole armor of God, in verse 11, verse 12, He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against people. Your husband is not your enemy. Your wife is not your enemy. Young people, your parents are not your enemy. That boss at work that gives you a hard time is not your enemy. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. He goes on and says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's why we need the armor of God. That's why we're to put on the whole armor of God. A principality is a ruler over a specific region. God gives to each of us a guardian angel. Satan assigns to each of you a fallen angel or a demon. Some of you have more than one assigned to you. You agree with me? Amen? Sometimes it seems like there's a whole host of them assigned to us. One of the things that we need to remember, and I mentioned this the other night, but one of the things we need to remember, when we are in spiritual warfare, if you want to know about the devil, study God. And everything God is, the devil is the opposite of that. For instance, God is omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time. While we're having church this morning, God is here. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He says to us, when we receive Christ as our Savior, He comes to live within us. He's here in Northern Kentucky Baptist Church this morning, but you know what? He's in China in their church services too. And He's in Africa in their church. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. The devil is the opposite. He cannot be omnipresent. All right? Now, why is that so important for me to understand? Because a lot of times people say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. The devil made me do it. Probably the devil didn't make you do it. Now, one of his demons might have influenced you, because the devil can't be here and in China and in Africa at the same time. But he has his cohorts. He has his fallen angels. He has his demons. And most of the time when we're talking about something that the devil did, usually it's one of his workers that did it. It's not the devil. And even more than that, the Bible says in James that when we're tempted, when we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed, a lot of times it's not even the devil or a demon that's made me do it. It's me that made me do it. And so we're in a warfare. And we're wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. When Daniel made the request of God, Gabriel, the angel, was dispatched to bring an answer to Daniel.
And the Bible says that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood Gabriel for 22 days. Here is the demon that withstood the angel. You know, I wish sometime, and maybe God will do it, we'll be able when we get to heaven, but I wish sometime God would just open our eyes and let us see the spiritual world around us. He did it one time with Elisha in the Old Testament. His servant was fearful of the enemies, and God, he said, there's more with us than there is with them. And God opened his eyes and he saw the armies of the Lord all around them. You know, when we come to church, angels come to church. And they're not the ones sitting in the pews. Hebrews chapter 1, God says he maketh his angels spirits. And he talks about them having flames of fire. And the last verse of the chapter says they are sent or given to minister to those of us who are called unto salvation. God sent his angels, has his angels, to minister to us and to assist us and to help us. There are some times when we ought to, in our prayer, in our watching and praying. You know what I've learned through the years and even in recent days? When I face an attack with the enemy, and sometimes when I know other people are facing attack, you know what I started praying? I started praying and asking God, God, would you bind the demons in fetters and chains and dangle their feet over the fires of hell and torment them before their time? Isn't that what God, what the demons said when the Lord cast the demons out of the man that was filled with them? They said, let us go into the swine and don't torment us before our time. And I said, Lord, would you torment them before their time and send them with a message back to their principality or their ruler to leave us alone? Amen? See, I can't do that myself, but I have an authority in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can stand. We can put on the whole armor of God. We can wrestle. And the Bible says we're to watch. That's what this watching is all about, watching and praying. Finally, Michael, the archangel, came to help Gabriel so that he could complete his mission there in Daniel chapter 10. When Michael, the archangel, was disputing with the devil over the body of Moses, Michael did not bring a railing accusation against the devil. But in Jude verse 9, Michael said, "The Lord rebuke thee." See, even Michael, the archangel, recognized it's the Lord that takes care of the enemy, not us. We can't do it in our flesh. We can't do it in our own power. But we have the Lord on our side. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm just simply saying to you, when we come to this command, watch and pray, it's more, the Christian life is more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. It's more than just reading your Bible once a day. It's a life. It's 24/7. It's a warfare. There's battles that go on. There's people's lives that are at stake. Our children that we're watching for, that we're praying for, that God has given us the responsibility and literally commanded us to watch and to pray. We could pray something like this. We could pray, "Oh Lord God of hosts, would you rebuke Satan over whatever it is that we're dealing with in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." The goal of watching and praying is to withstand Satan in the evil times. The Apostle Paul went on to say in Ephesians 6:13, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Again in verses 18 and 19, he said, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Paul, if Paul needed his fellow believers to watch and pray for him, how much more do we need our fellow believers to watch and pray for us as well? Now, what is the object of our watching and praying? Very quickly, number four. What's the object? There are several things that the Bible tells us we're to watch and pray for. Number one, we're to watch and pray against grievous wolves who draw away disciples after their own evil ways. Grievous wolves. Look at Acts chapter 20 with me, in verses 29 and 30. Acts chapter 20 and verses 29 and 30. Watch and pray against grievous wolves who draw away disciples after their own evil ways. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 29, the Bible says this, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." The Apostle Paul understood that when he was gone, there were going to be grievous wolves, he calls them, that would enter in, not sparing the flock. Remember the shepherd we said? He builds that fence or wall around the sheep as they're traveling, and he lies in the doorway to be the door and the gap to be the door. Paul said, when I'm gone, I'm the shepherd, I'm the door. When I'm gone, the wolves are going to get in and they're going to attack. And he said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. The Lord has given me the privilege of pastoring this church for 33 years, almost 34. But I know this, if the Lord should choose to take me home today, God says, watch and pray, because there's some grievous wolves on the outside, and there are also some on the inside that would rise up to draw away disciples to themselves. Now, if you're drawing them to yourself, you're drawing them away from the Lord, aren't you? And so we have to be careful. One of the things we're to watch and pray for, we're to pray for the church. Pray against grievous wolves that would draw away disciples after their own evil ways. Secondly, we're to watch and pray to be strong in the faith. Watch and pray to be strong in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 says this. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. He says, stand fast in the faith. We ought to be watching and praying for our church. We ought to be watching and praying for ourselves that God will keep us strong in the faith. Did you know, we sometimes look at people and we see their failures and their sin, and maybe somebody gets on drugs, or maybe somebody gets drunk, maybe somebody is immoral, maybe somebody, something we look at and we say, I'd never do that. Be careful. Because inside of every single one of us is the ability to do anything that anybody else would do. Because we still have that old sinful nature. And so what does God say? God says, watch and pray so that you stay strong in the faith. Stay strong in the faith. You know, the devil is a master at some of the things that he does. In fact, at most of what he does, he's a master. And he loves to attack churches, and he loves to attack the leaders in the church. And we all have seen over the years, leaders in churches and in religious groups that have fallen and have failed. And when that happens, there's almost always people who are following that leader who throw in the towel, who quit, who say, well, if he's not going to do right, why should I do right? If that person failed, why should, you know, and who start questioning the pastor, the religious, the spiritual leaders are not, yes, we follow. Paul said, follow me as I am following Christ. As long as I'm following the Lord, it's okay for you to follow me. But if I'm not following the Lord, then you're supposed to follow the Lord and not follow me. Amen. If I fail, you keep going for the Lord. Because one day you're going to stand before God and answer to God for you, not for me. You stay faithful. If everybody failed, you stay faithful. Amen. Watch and pray to be strong in the faith. And then watch and pray for God's leaders. Watch and pray for God's leaders. Look at Colossians. You have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Look at Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. It says there, continue in prayer and watch. There's that word again. Watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. This is Paul talking. He says, praying for us, for Paul, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He was in chains. He was in prison. And he said, you watch, you pray, so that God will give us an open door to share the gospel. Watch and pray for God's leaders. Pray that God gives us opportunities to share the gospel. Pray that God gives you opportunities to share the gospel. Watch and pray for God's leaders. I remember years ago when I think it was before Vicki and I had gotten married, which has been 38 years now that we've been married. I was preaching at Tri-County Baptist Church, which is her home church over on the north side of Cincinnati. And a lady came up to me after the service and she said, Brother Tim, she said, I'm going to put your name on my prayer list. I'm going to pray for you every day. And you know what? That was such a blessing. Every time I would preach at Tri-County or be back there to visit, that lady would come to me and she'd say, I've got you on my prayer list. I pray for you every day. What a blessing that was. And I know there's folks in our church pray for me every day. Every one of you, I need your prayers. I need the prayers and you need the practice. Amen? So we all need the prayers. Amen? Pray for your spiritual leaders. And then watch and pray for serious mindedness. Pray that God will give us serious mindedness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, he says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That word sober is not being not drunk, but it's being serious, serious minded. See, there's a lot of people that are just playing around with this thing of religion. It's just a sideshow, you might say. Just something they want to get their feet wet with, but they don't want to get all the way in. God says, watch and pray for serious mindedness. Pray that God will help you to be serious about it. And then watch and pray for spiritual revival. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse number 3, the Bible says this, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. The Lord said, watch, pray for spiritual revival, that we don't grow cold and indifferent about the things of God. Some objects of our watching and praying. And then number 5, the challenge of watching and praying. What is the challenge? When we're on our faces or on our knees before God and praying, we understand that, and a lot of times we think when we're praying, we've got to do all the talking. We have to keep on talking. Talking, when I'm praying, that's prayer. But when I'm quiet and listening, that's watching. Watching is to be silent before God and allow Him to speak to me. God will bring to my mind and to your mind different people that He wants us to pray for that need our prayers. Our situation that we're going through, He'll bring to our mind things that need immediate attention. Watching and praying are the keys that God gives us so that we do not enter into temptation. He said to the disciples there in Matthew 26, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Satan and his demons, his hosts of demons, tremble when righteous people earnestly and fervently pray. God wants us to be earnest and fervent in our praying. And then the effectiveness of Job's watching. Not only was Job's watching so effective that the devil complained about it, but every indication in Scripture is that God protected Job's sons and daughters because Job watched and prayed for them. When they had their feast, Job would pray. They called their sisters to come, but they didn't call Job to come. The Bible says that they didn't call the father. Maybe their party, something was going on that displeased the Lord or was not appropriate. Displeased their father, and so he was concerned about their spiritual relationship, and he would make sacrifices and he would pray for them. And you know the interesting thing is that when Job, after all of his problems came upon him, and God told Job, his friends came and they were supposed to comfort him, and all they did was accuse him. Job spent time watching and listening to God and letting God speak. And when it all came down to the end, Job prayed for his friends. And when he prayed for his friends, God healed him, healed Job. And what did God do at the end? He gave him double everything he had before. But when you read down through it, he gave him 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He didn't give him 14 and 6. Why not?
Because evidently the first seven and three, God had heard the prayers of Job, and they were in heaven with the Lord, and he was going to see them again someday. You see, his watching and praying was effective. Don't let the devil get your family. And then who's the greatest mentor of watching and praying in all of the Bible? The greatest mentor is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is called the Great Shepherd in John chapter 10. He dedicated his life to watching and praying for his disciples. And he wants us to do the same, to watch and pray. I have an iPad, and on my iPad I have a contacts there, and I got a list of all the names of all the folks in our church. And I pray for you almost every day. Sometimes I don't get all the way through the list, and so I'll pick up there the next day and go back through it and start again. But I pray for you. God says for me as a pastor, I am to watch and to pray. And it's so important that we learn to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 2, the Lord said, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." God says we're to take the oversight thereof. Finally, I want you to look at some personal applications with me in closing. What am I supposed to do in relation to watching and praying? Most of us in our prayer time, we do all the talking. Do we ever stop and watch? Number one, how often do you watch in God's presence? How often do you watch? How often do you just stop and listen? Don't say anything. Come to the Lord, dear God, I just want to spend some time listening to you. What is God saying to you? Proverbs 8:34 and 35 says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Listen to the Lord. Number two, have you ever spent an hour in silent watching for your sake and for the sakes of those that are under your care? Remember what the Lord said to the disciples? "Could ye not watch with me 1 hour?" Have you ever spent an hour in prayer? You know what we do? We start praying and we say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to listen." We wait about 3 minutes and then we start talking again. Before you know it, our time's up and we've done all the talking. Jesus was amazed that his disciples, his closest associates, could not even watch 1 hour with him. Number three, can you think of a spiritual defeat in your life that could have been avoided had you watched and prayed? Has there been a spiritual defeat in your life, like Peter, had you watched and prayed, could have been avoided? Number four, if we fail to watch and pray for loved ones, Satan comes as a thief and steals their heart and lives, morally, spiritually, and physically. We must watch and pray for our loved ones, for our families. Has this happened to your family? And number five, have you made it a daily practice to ask God to rebuke Satan in regard to your home and your family and your ministry, and to put a hedge of protection around all that you have and do in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray each day in my prayer time, and particularly, I pray for my family, and I go through each one and I ask God to put His hedge of protection around them. And I ask Him in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to protect my family. Just like Job did, we ought to pray for our family. We ought to pray for our loved ones. We ought to pray for our church. We ought to be praying for our nation. You know, there's some life-changing decisions that you can make in your life. Young people, there's some things that you can decide that'll change the rest of your life. Someday you'll hear a sermon, and maybe you already have. You heard a sermon on reading God's Word, and you said, "I'm going to start reading my Bible every day." Change your life. Spend some time reading. You hear a message sometime on praying and how important prayer is, and you say, "I'm going to start praying. I'm going to get a prayer list and list the people I want to pray. I'm going to spend some time every day, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe an hour, whatever it is. I'm going to spend some time." A life-changing decision to spend some time praying every day. You may make a decision to say, God, you promised if I'm faithful to bring my tithes and offerings, you'll open the windows of heaven to bless me. God, I'm going to make a commitment from this day on. I'm going to start tithing. Life-changing decision. It'll change your life. You may make a decision, Lord, I'm going to start witnessing. I'm going to give out a gospel tract every day. Or I'm going to give out some tracts every week. Or God, I'm going to witness to somebody. And it'll change your life. This thing we've talked about this morning, watching and praying. Lord, I'm going to learn to watch, to listen. We use a journal in the Reformers program on Friday nights. One of the things I like about the journal is it has different sections in there each day. One of them is you ask God, Lord, who do you want me to encourage today? And you just stop and listen. Watch. God will bring somebody to your mind to be an encouragement to that day. You'll be amazed how many times you'll maybe make a phone call, maybe send a note. Do something to encourage. And it'll be just the thing that that person needed. Maybe they are struggling. But God prompted you. You see, if we'll take time to watch, God may put somebody on your mind just to pray for today. Somebody's going through a crisis. Maybe it's somebody that has surgery. Maybe it's somebody who's sick. Maybe it's somebody that's having a problem on the job. Maybe there's a problem going on in the family you don't even know about, but God puts them on your heart and you pray for them. Watch. Watch and pray can be one of those life-changing decisions you make in your life. To obey the command of God, Lord, I'm going to watch and pray. I'm not just going to slide through life and let everybody else do the work. I'm going to start getting involved in this spiritual warfare and praying and seeking God's face and letting God work through me to help other people. Life's not all about me. Amen? It's about everybody else. Watch and pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Would you help us to learn and help us to be willing to put into practice this truth of watching and praying? Lord, there may be somebody here today that we've been watching and praying for who needs you. Some of us have been praying for family members and loved ones and friends to have genuine salvation in their life. Not just make a profession, but genuinely give their life till we see something going on between them and God. Lord, help us to pray for our children every day. They'll come to know you as Lord and Savior. Genuine salvation in their lives. If there's one person here today that's not truly trusted you, may you help them to come to you today. Lord, we pray in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would bind Satan and all of his demons and put your hedge of protection around our children and around our families and around our church, around our missionaries, even around our country. Bind Satan, bind all of his demons. Lord, give us victory as we live for you and we serve you. Help us to watch and pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.